Welcome to the Life Church STL podcast. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope this message encourages and inspires you. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
I've been speaking the last couple of weeks out of a scripture that refers back to Israel and their time coming out of captivity and what happened over that journey, if you will, that was made longer because they got into their flesh and what happened. And I shared the past couple of weeks, you know, that the people of Israel were in this place of devotion to God, but there came a time when they became distant, then disconnected. They really disconnected from the heart of God and started to walk even further away. And when we do that, we then can get into the place of disobedience. And then when we're in that place, it leads us to this place of diverted devotion. So we've gone from being devoted to our Creator, our God, the one that we should understand who He is, that and what He's done for us, to it so that we can understand that we should just be like unrelentingly devoted to Him. But the people of Israel kind of show us this picture of what can happen. When we let distance happen, get disconnected, we become disobedient. And then this devotion that we had or should have to God becomes diverted to being devoted to other things. And I want to start today by sharing that, like, this week literally has kind of played out in this scenario for myself. Like, we had so much going on and happen this week. Lots of great stuff, but then also some not so great stuff. And it's not like horrible, like devastating necessarily. Some was pretty hard, but so many things. And then really that, and as I think about it, I can see that even things that are good or that I feel are good can also take us away from that devotion. Because in this, like, I try to shortly tell this because I don't want to be here all day. Do you want to be here all day? Okay. We got Pastor Tori's car was in the shop and his recall thing, and it was there forever. We got our car back. We get it back, and then all of a sudden, there's a couple of other things that start to go wrong. The battery went dead and the starter went out the next day. And this is not what they were working on, but so that day ends up, okay, what do we got to do? And luckily, we have amazing people at this church, and one of them has graciously helped me with cars many, many times. And I called him. He's like, yeah, I can come, I can go. And so, but that day was just, there it was. The day was gone. And then I have this car that is actually my oldest son's car that he bought a new car, and we're going to try to sell this. So I post this thing, and I'm going to sell this car. And you know, I don't know if you do know, when you sell something on Marketplace. So all of a sudden, it's like, boo, 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 boo. And I'm like, whoa. And I'm trying to do the right thing and you know, message people and get this done. And of course, we want to sell this little car, and it's just going. And this guy's asking this question, and this other person's asking this question. All this stuff is going on, and I'm doing the right thing for my family, you know, trying to get this stuff done, this is not necessarily a bad thing, but it turns into something that actually took 2 days of my life. A couple of amazing things. Pastor Tori and I got to speak with our young adults and about relationships, because I guess they think we know something about relationships. I don't know. But, I mean, hey, we're still here, almost 24 years. Yeah, we got to do that on Friday night, and then Saturday morning I got to wake up and speak at a men's breakfast, and a handful of guys came with me, and I'm so happy about that. And that was amazing. That was amazing. And I'm here today, and I get to do this. But what I'm saying is this week, literally, Pastor Tori and I sat down and talked, and she's like, hey. I'm like, hi. But I sat and thought about this, and I'm like, whoa. This picture, this thing in my life right here this week shows me what happened in Israel. You know, the problem is not this week. But when we let this week become the month, and then the month to become the year, and then all of a sudden we get a year, two, three, or however many, we get down the road and we don't realize it, but we're so far apart. And now I'm telling you, I'm talking about my relationship, but you know I'm really talking about our walk with God. And that happens. And sometimes we don't even realize it. And thinking about this story with Israel, it's like, do we think that they just woke up, first day, woke up, Moses, he goes up the mountain, they go to bed, they wake up, and then they're like, he gone, we're going to build a golden calf. No, and it wasn't like that. They didn't set out that way. They didn't try to do it. They didn't want to do it. But you know what they said? I'm not going to actually have the scripture up there, but they said, come on, Aaron, come. Make us gods that can go before us. The man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know when he's going to come back. We just don't know. It got to this point where they're uncertain. If he's going to come back, when he's going to come back, any of these things. And then they're just like, man, it's been a little while. And he was the leader. He was the one telling us what to do. That's a whole nother message. But it shouldn't be all about somebody telling us how to walk with God, how to live, how to do everything. Yes, you need to learn and grow, be led, but also each and every one of us. And I really feel like this is why God's speaking this to me, is because he wants each and every one of us to understand who we are and how he wants to love us and how he wants us to love him, and that we don't necessarily need somebody to tell us every day how to do it. You know, in that the men's breakfast, one of the things I was saying is like, just to understand that we shouldn't look to somebody else saying they're more special, they get to be closer to God, they do all this, I'm going to look to them and they're going to have all the answers I can't possibly know. No. We have different callings and places of ministry, but each and every one of us have that same place with God of relationship and strength and being able to walk with him, you just as much as I can. I mean, you know, if you ask me, I say, I think maybe you could even be stronger than I am. You're like, no. Like, but I'm saying, you know, each and every one of us. Will we allow him to work in us and to move in us and do with us what he wants to do so that we can walk in the power of who he is? This might be two or three messages, okay? I don't know. We don't intend to become distant. We don't intend to end up with our devotion to God being diverted to idols. But it happens when we aren't intent on loving Him and being close to Him. Isaiah 49, sorry, it's 45, verse 9, I believe. What sorrow awaits those who argue with the Creator? Does a clay pot argue with its maker? Does the clay dispute the one who shapes it, saying, "Stop, you're doing it wrong"? Does the pot exclaim, "How clumsy can you be?" I don't know about you, but the scripture got me, because I was just like, whoa, have I done that, God? How many times have I done that, actually? I won't say have I done it, because I probably have. But what sorrow awaits those who argue with their Creator? Does a clay pot argue with its maker? Does the clay dispute with the one who shapes it, saying, "Stop, you're doing it wrong"? Does the pot exclaim, "How clumsy can you be?" And this scripture is giving us this picture of what we can tend to do. And you know, like, I don't know, is it just that we forget sometimes? And I say, no, I don't forget that God created me. But somehow in my day, with what is happening, or how I woke up and I felt down on myself, or whatever, whatever we do, then we end up forgetting. Say, God, why? Why did you make me this way? Why do I have to walk through this? Why are you wanting me to hold this? And he says, I have made you. Do you want to argue with how I've made you or what I've created you for? And that last line, I think sometimes if you put it in different words, it sinks in a little bit more. And I think about this, and it says, does the clay pot exclaim, how clumsy can you be? And I think about some things that I've complained about before with God, and I think, God, oh my gosh, I maybe told God that He's clumsy. I told God that maybe He didn't know what He's doing, or He did it wrong. Like, you guys, you've never done that, I'm sure. Coming into an understanding that He's the potter. We're the clay. We're the ones that is in need of molding and shaping and pressing and turning and squeezing and all this stuff. And He's the one. His hands are the one. He is the one that does that. Not mine. Like, how could I say, God, are your hands clumsy? I'm the one with clumsy hands. I'm the one, whenever I try to take it, when we try to take it on our own and do it how we think and how we feel and in our strength. And then all of a sudden, you know, you've gone from an artisan to the little clay thing that I made that my grandma still has. I don't even know what it was. It turned out like a, just like a little dish, you know, like a whatever. And it definitely wasn't smooth. It definitely wasn't perfectly round. And it really looked like somebody just went like that on a piece of clay. It was like, here you go. Like, that's what I can do. That's what my hands can do. But why wouldn't we put ourselves into the hands of the ultimate artisan, the ultimate creator, the one who has no lack in vision, who has no lack in creativity? He just doesn't have lack. So how could we not put ourselves into his hands? In Isaiah 30, starting in verse 12, I'm going to read 12 through 14, I think 15. But it says, therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perversity and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a breach ready to fall, a bulge on a high wall, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. And he shall break it like the breaking of the potter's vessel, which is broken into pieces. He shall not spare. So there shall not be found among its fragments a shard to take fire from the earth. To pick it, you know, you won't be, hey, look, this vessel may have been used to take fire and carry it around. No, it won't be able to do that anymore. There'll be such small pieces. Or to take water from a cistern. And in verse 15, I actually don't think that you have this, but I'll just read it. In verse 15, it says, For thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. How are we saved? When is it that we're saved? Not when we start trusting in ourselves and when we start trusting in these other things. And really, this is all just leading up to the real message. I don't know if I'm going to get to it. But in returning where? To the first love, to our Creator, to the potter, in returning to Him and in rest. What does that mean? I know, oh, I just get to sleep now? I don't have to do it? No. That's not exactly what it's saying. What it's saying is for us not striving in ourselves, not striving to do it in our own way, us not saying, oh, I'm doing it in our own strength, but in rest in who He is. See, there's a difference, because when we rest in who He is, we do something, but what we do is we end up doing it because we want to be with Him, because He's asked us, and because He's given us the strength and the understanding and the knowledge to do it. See, and then there's a difference. It's all of a sudden, like, I actually, not that I'm laying down doing nothing, but I don't even feel like I'm working. This is happening, but because I'm doing it and in this place of being the clay and allowing the potter, like allowing Him to work, mold, shape me and do what He wants to do and trusting Him and resting in Him, then all of a sudden it happens. But I'm like, how is it happening? Like, I don't even understand. It just feels like I'm not even working. It feels like I don't even have to strive or push or do. It's just going. Sometimes it's a little confusing, but then we realize, oh, wait, God is working. God's working in this situation. God is working in my life, in my family, in my job, in this issue that I've had. Oh, God's working. And now it goes from me just trying real hard to get past this struggle that I've been dealing with. But now I'm resting in Him, and all of a sudden I just was like, wait a second, I'm not struggling anymore. I'm not doing that thing that I didn't want to do anymore, but it's because I'm focused on Him and allowing Him to do what He wants to do. We have to understand that God is for us. He's for us, not against us. That He doesn't have lack. He doesn't grow weary or faint. I love this scripture in Isaiah 40, in verse 28. It says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard?" And I just love it. I don't know. I just like imagine him talking and saying these things. You know, like somebody telling me, did you mean that you haven't heard yet? Have you not known this? And have you not heard this? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends and the earth, of the earth, He neither faints nor grows weary. His understanding is unsearchable. You know, could you imagine? Like, I want somebody, I think, like, if I do something and I start, like, if I start questioning things, maybe, I give you all the permission. It'd just be like, haven't you heard? You know, like, almost sarcastically, it would be really funny. It's like, I don't know. I don't know if I can do this or, you know, this is getting really tough. And then you'd just be like, hey, I don't know if you've heard, but have you heard that the creator of the universe, your Lord, your Savior, that He doesn't grow faint or weary? Maybe you haven't, but have you heard that His understanding, it's unsearchable? You can't find the end of it. You can search and search and search. Every second, every minute of every day without sleep, your entire life, and you probably would barely scratch the surface. You may not even scratch the surface. Haven't you heard that your Creator? He doesn't. He doesn't faint. He doesn't grow weary. Trying harder in our own power, it doesn't solve our weakness. It doesn't solve this problem of weakness. Really, more than likely, it just exposes more of our weakness when we try harder. And like, the amazing thing is this wild, upside-down kingdom of God, where the first is last, the last is first, and it's this thing where He says, In your weakness, and when you understand that you do have it, When you understand and don't complain about it and don't discard yourself or don't devalue yourself because there's weakness, like in that weakness coming to Him, we are made strong. Not that somehow I become strong myself, but because He has no lack in strength, then all of a sudden I have the strength that He has. In our weakness, we are made strong. And all of a sudden, it's like, you know, I've thought about this, and I've told you guys, because I'm real, and I say, you know, different things that I think about myself or whatever, you know, like there's lots of things that I'm like, I don't know, God, I don't know if I can do this, and I don't know if I'm, you know, just like anybody else. And that's what I try to say. It's like we're all the same. But in thinking about this, it almost makes me, I'm like, oh my gosh, that just flips the tape. It just flips it over because now I'm going to be excited. I don't know if you ever thought that. I'm actually going to get excited whenever I don't think I can do something. You guys are like, my brain is, you know, maybe it works a little differently than you, but I don't know. But then I'm going to be like, oh, God, that's a big thing. I don't know if I can. Oh, I don't know if I can do it. That's amazing. Well, God, I'm. What that means is it's not going to be me. It's not going to be anything that I do. But God, it's going to be something that You do. Oh, let's find other things I'm weak in. This is amazing. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, whenever I feel that I'm strong, that's when I really am weak. When I think I can do something, then all of a sudden, you know what happens? You know what always happens? I'm like, yeah, I got this. I'm going to go into this meeting, and it's going to be great. I'm going to lead it well. I'm going to do this. And then I go in, and I'm like, Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to go through a whole meeting. But like, and then I'm like, oh, like I literally forgot how to lead. It like exposes my weakness whenever I think I'm wrong or when I think I'm strong. Like all of a sudden, I just realize more and more how much I need Him. You guys stay with me for a few more minutes?
Yes.
Okay. In Jeremiah 18. Verse 1. It says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house. And there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel. So he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are you in my hand. Oh, Josh, Can I not do with you? Oh, Rick. Oh, Clay. Oh, Megan. I'm going to say everybody's name. You guys ready? Oh, Dan. Oh, Eileen. Oh. Put your name in there. Oh, Josh, can I not do with you as this potter? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, as the clay. Look at it. Look at the clay that's in the potter's hand. See. It says, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, Josh. So are you in my hand, Scott? If we think about a potter and the clay, we think about, I don't know about you, I've watched those videos and seen, it's just like, it's amazing, you know? But there's so many aspects of a potter making clay that are so interesting and paralleled with who we are in the hands of God. And don't think that he didn't know that. You know, he did. So potter takes something. He grabs a hunk of clay. He takes that clay and it's just a blob of material that he can shape and mold and push on and move and stretch and squeeze and pull apart and work with. So that he can create something beautiful. And in this process, what happens is you realize that, you know, if you've ever done this before, that, you know, maybe it's just in school, you know, you were in art class or whatever, but think about that. He grabs this hunk of clay and at first it's pretty tough. It's not hard, it's not dry, it's not, you know, just gonna break, but it's pretty tough. So what he has to do, there's stuff that needs to happen in order for him to really create what he wants to create. So he has to start pushing on it real hard. So he squeezes it, he pushes it down and squeezes the sides and gets it going. And the more that he works with this hunk of clay, the more that he presses on it, the more that he squeezes it, the more that he pulls it and pushes it back together, folding it over, pressing out any in consistency and pressing out any of the bubbles that can make actually it to be more fragile than it should be, that can make it crack whenever it's put in the fire. Oh, God, I don't want you to press on me and to push on me so hard. And he's like, oh, but I want to get out that air bubble, because when things get tough and there's fire, if that air bubble is in there, if that thing is in you because I didn't press as hard as I did, if I didn't do that, then whenever the fire comes, you're going to crack. You won't hold together. So he presses, he pulls, he works with it. As he does, this hunk of clay that was probably at room temperature, kind of harder, it starts to get warm. It warms up. It takes on the warmth from the pulling, but also the warmth from the hands of the potter. And it becomes more and more pliable and moldable, easier to make, easier to work with, because the potter has been pressing on it. The potter has been pushing out those inconsistencies and pushing and stretching. And the clay warms up, becomes something that is usable. Not usable yet as a piece of pottery, but usable as a hunk of clay to make something. We need a potter to press on us, to work with us. We need his hands on us, pushing, pressing, getting out those inconsistencies and kind of getting us warmer. See, because sometimes, and this kind of is what was happening with Israel. See, what happens is when we've lacked that time with the potter, we start to get cold, which causes us to be hard to work with. See, we need a soft and pliable heart. We all, I'm not going to ask you, say, who is it that wants to be passionate about God and what God wants to do through you? Because we all do. But we need him to mold us and shape us. We need him to press on us. We need him to warm our heart up. Like, we want to be passionate. How does that happen? Is when his hands are on us, creating something, that friction in us with him and us that makes us on fire. Verse 4, Jeremiah 18:4. And the vessels that he had made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. This wasn't the potter's fault. Maybe it was something. You know, I think about this. I wonder what it was. And of course, we don't know exactly. I wonder what it was that marred this clay in the potter's hand. And we don't know if there was a little something in there that, you know, that created a mark when he was working with the clay. We don't know if maybe there was something that was so hard, it had dried up and it was just unworkable. But the potter didn't throw the whole lump of clay away. What he said was, what I'm going to do is I can't continue to do what I was doing in the first place, but what I'm going to do is get rid of what was keeping me to form what I wanted to form. I'm going to have to fix that thing that was creating that mar in my piece of pottery. And what I'll do is I'll create again and use this clay and I can make something new. It says, so he made it again into another vessel. He didn't get thrown out. And I feel like this is what I believe God wanted to say earlier on after the worship is he didn't throw the clay away. He's not throwing you away. But what he's going to do is he's going to take and make something new without that peace that is marring your vessel. It says, as it seemed good to the potter to make. This is something that we have to understand. He's the potter, and we are the clay. He's the creator. He's the one that doesn't have any lack in understanding or creativity or strength. He's the one that doesn't lack. That is the potter, and we're the clay. And what we need to be is ready for him to make something as he seems good. That's I'm going to raise my hand, okay, so you don't have to. That's what happens. In those times, because I'm thinking, well, God, this is what I think would be good. But God says, hey, will my people allow me to hold them and shape them and move them and create in them, create this vessel as I see and as I want to do. And what I believe is the best, what seems good to me. He puts us down, or we walk away, that warmth doesn't stay there. That passion, that fire doesn't stay there. No, what happens when you put a piece of clay down and you allow it? It's going to go back to the temperature of what is around it. So what temperature do we want to be? What temperature do we want to take on? Do we want to take on the temperature? Because we're the clay, we're clay. And we'll take on a temperature, but do we want to take on the temperature of the potter? Do we want to take on the temperature of the creator of the heavens and the earth? Do we want his hands to be on us so that his fire, his passion, and who he is, that is what is in us? Like, I get my temperature, you know? Like, that's what we should say. I get my temperature from him. I'm not hot-headed. I'm not cold and mean. What I am is the temperature of God. He says in verse 6, O house of Israel, oh, Josh, oh, Megan, oh, Jim, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look as the clay is in the potter's hand, so you are in my hands. Can I not do? He can. He can do it. In Isaiah 33, they don't have this. Verse 21, I'm going to close out with this. The majestic Lord will be for us a place of broad rivers and streams in which no galley with oars will sail, no majestic ships shall pass. And in this scripture, it's like, there's a couple things. It says, the majestic Lord, our Savior, he's majestic, he's mighty. How do we see him? How do we see ourselves? Our Lord, majestic, will be for us. He is for you. He is for us. He. Do we understand that when we are in the potter's hands, he's not some, you know, sarcastic, like, you know, artisan. It's like I make just weird things, you know? That's what we think sometimes. No, like imagine, think, take in that whoever you could imagine is the most well-known. Their pottery is the most valuable. It's flawless. It's beautiful. It's exactly as it should. And imagine that that doesn't even compare to what God wants to make out of you. That we can sit and look and have respect and awe of these earthly artisans and what they do and whoa, and just sit there. You know, like, I don't know about you, but I can't do this. I can't just sit in an art museum and they put benches. Why you put a bench? How do you just sit there and stare at it? But we do. We want to go. We want to look. We want to sit and say, whoa. And have awe for the one that created that piece of artwork. But then complain to God saying, how in the world did you screw this up? He is for us. I believe, and I said yesterday, like, I believe God is speaking to me and to you and to all of us. Are you ready to be who I've called you to be? Are you ready to allow me to do what I want to do? Because now is the time. Now is the time. Please stand with me.
Thanks for listening today. We pray this message encourages you. If you have any questions or you'd like to learn more about us as a church, you can always visit us online by going to lifechurchstl.com.